Hour number two, chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. He's Big Joe Dubin, Chase McCabe with you, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, fixing ovens back behind the glass and on the ones and twos.
Yes.
Delaney Walker coming up in 15 minutes.
For those going to the game this weekend, Paul Kaharsky brought up a great point the other day with Robbie and Rex. A great point. You only have three more times to tailgate at Nissan Stadium. That's it. Because once the season's over, they're ripping the parking lot up and construction begins on the new stadium. You've got three more times to tailgate. So if you're like, I don't know if I want to go, this and that, go. Because you don't get these opportunities back again. And I never thought about that till Paul brought it up the other day, and that's a good point. If a lot of memories have been made with people tailgating over there, and I know, Chase, you've tailgated quite a bit. I have just a tad bit, but everybody's got great tailgating stories over there of celebrities coming by, of fights, of good times, just everything that goes with the tailgate happens over there. And I know you've partook and Chase in the tailgating throughout the years. I know you did some times with your father, with friends and everything, and you got one with Frank Wycheck.
I do. So, and I went to one a few weeks ago, the last home game with Ricky, that was really cool. I don't tailgate a whole lot, but I've had some good ones over the years where, you know, we've my dad and I actually did when I was in my senior year in high school and then my freshman year in college, we actually was with Titans Radio. It was the tailgate party that they did before the games where we made chicken wings and served chicken wings. So that was cool. So Hair Metal Henry, who's an avid listener of the show, he's been texting in. A buddy of his had a really awesome tailgate probably 6-7 years ago, something like that, and got invited to it. Rick was there, and we showed up, and I mean, it was like prime rib and lobsters, and you know, not what you would normally find at a tailgate.
Right, no tailgate.
It was awesome, you know, open bar. Well, Frankie came by because Frank knew everybody before he had to go call the game with Mike Keith, and you know, so it was just like, you know, 89 pulls up and everybody goes nuts, and there's Frankie holding court and, you know, saying hi to everybody. So that was really cool. And so when you asked that question about tailgates, that's the first one I thought of because it was like, oh, wow, yeah, Frank was there.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
That is very cool. Yeah, hit us up on if you're tailgating on the game, 615-737-1025. Cool spots to visit this weekend and go to. I mean, there have been some that I've been, like I said, I'm usually covering the game, and I've only been to maybe three games as a fan, and I've tailgated those, so I don't have the stories of the
and that was the thing with me, too. I was going and covering the games a lot. You know, but I went to a few. Alex from Nashville says, we need a Jared versus PK debate at a tailgate.
I don't know if I want to see them in person. I like it better over the radio where I can visualize what's going on. But that would be – I think Paul would really destroy Jared in something like that. That's my two cents. I'd put my money, which very little I have, on
Paul.
Well,
I mean, I don't know. Jared holds his own, but like both of them have podiums.
Like a debate, like the Lincoln-Douglas debate. They would neither one of them would shut up. You'd have to close their mic off or turn their mic off, whatever happens there. That would be nonstop.
That could be interesting.
It could be very interesting.
You'd have to get a good moderator.
Yeah. But so where are they going to tailgate next year? I mean, you have to ride Ubers to get in? I don't know how this is going to work.
You're not really going to be able to tailgate around
the
stadium.
Does Freddie O'Connell know what I need to do next year?
I don't know. You want us to ask him? You want me to send an email?
Yeah. Hey, Freddie.
We both know his PR guy.
We do. That's correct.
Yeah.
So okay.
We could certainly ask.
I don't think those emails would get returned to us, but that's okay.
Probably not, but that's okay.
Well, that, but
yeah, I don't know. I mean, because they're going to basically the giant parking lot next to Nissan Stadium is where the new stadium's going to go, and so they're going to start that process, and then – there's nowhere to park, so therefore nowhere to tailgate.
The IndyCar's already changing for next year, correct?
Yes, they're on Broadway.
Yeah,
so they've moved across the river. Essentially, I mean, they'll go across the bridge and basically do a U-turn, which we did a lot of those in Miami. do a U-turn down at the bottom of the bridge and then come back across and go on Broadway.
Well, the GPS in Miami told us to take U-turns. It's like, take a U-turn here. I was like, it says don't take a U-turn. And she's like, take a U-turn here. I'm like, okay, I'll take a U-turn. And they just plead ignorant. Like, if they come up,
GPS told me.
If the cop pulls through, I'm like, I'm not from here. We just got lost coming down here to the game. Then they're like, they speak Southern. They must be dumb. Okay.
And
they're
like, and then drop off. But then they look at you and go, yeah, but you kind of enjoyed taking that U-turn in that Mustang.
I did. Between that and yelling at drivers in Miami, I had a really good time down there. So thanks for asking. Chase will never drive with me again, but that's okay.
It's okay. I'm over my fear now.
Also, I can't figure out a GPS, and it's like Chase riding with his grandpa. I was like, except Chase's grandpa's doing 90 down a turnpike, and that was the thing. And then it's like, go here, take a left through. I can't read this thing.
No. The best part is, I'd be like, hey, you're going to turn right up here. Hey, Joe, you're going to turn right up here. And then he's going left, goes, where do I go? I'm like, right!
Because the GPS had the arrow going left, one on top of it going to the right, and just – but what did we do before GPS? I know we had the old map you'd pull that and all that, but when I've been to Miami years ago before GPSs, I was like, all right, there's the city. Orange Bowl is over there somewhere, and just drive until you find it. The trial and error part of that was a disaster, but thank goodness for the GPS now.
So on the tailgate story I was telling – Laura, Henry's wife, just texted me and said that was Lumpy's tailgate. That Lumpy is a old friend, roommate of Frank's, and that was a tailgate he always had. She said Tony Siragusa showed up 1 year and ate all the food.
R.I.P. Tony, man.
All right, Joe Dubin probably would have done the same.
Hell yeah, you would have. What's the old thing that I stole from Greg Pogue? Is like, we're come to your tailgate, flirt with your women, drink your beer, and eat all your food. That's harmless. It's all harmless what we do over there for all those things. But you know, the tailgaters at Hard Rock Stadium. I mean, they had like a disco going on over there. They had all the music and the food. I mean, it was cool. A lot of fun.
And I mean, I hope that I'm curious about that with the new stadium because obviously you're going to have to replace some of the parking that you're taking away with the new stadium. But I also think you're going to have a lot of stuff built up around it. Whereas like if you have restaurants and bars and everything around the stadium, then you don't necessarily need tailgates. But tailgates are so much fun.
They are. You just got to tailgate farther away from the stadium that you want to do. But you got three games left. You got the Texans, the Seahawks, and the Jaguars that are coming next year.
And the Seahawks is on Christmas Eve.
It is, isn't it?
Yep.
It's a great little time down there.
It sure is.
Do you think fans will actually go to the last home game, even though like some people might not be as interested or as invested as they were at the start of the season due to the fact of the record?
Good question, but something on top of that. All right, so it's on New Year's. Is it the last game on New Year's Eve? I mean, the last home game on New Year's Eve? 31st? Because if the game is Christmas Eve, then the last home game is New Year's Eve.
Are there last two at home?
No. The last one's at Houston in January.
Then, I don't know.
Is the Jag game on the 31st?
Hang on, I'm looking. I think that's one that could be a Saturday or a...
Chase is looking up Bing. No, they can't play Saturday because the Music City Bowl.
Oh, that's right.
Chase is looking up Bing.com.
Yeah, the Jags game. They play Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve.
All right, so
but Houston at Houston on New Year's Eve.
Oh, at Houston.
Yeah. So the last home game is the Jags game, which is a TBD.
And that's January the something.
It's a TBD.
All right. I was going to wonder because if that last game was home on the 31st, then all the fireworks are set up over there on the river. That'd be kind of a situation with people and the fireworks.
I'm sure they planned that.
Yeah.
Planned it the right way.
Then we will.
Coming up next, we will talk to former Titans tight end Delanie Walker. Really looking forward to this conversation with him. We'll get into what he's been up to, the Titans, Frank Wycheck, and much more here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It is Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by Regal Realty Group. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, and now joined by former Titans tight end Delanie Walker. Delanie, good morning. How the heck are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. You know, I can't complain. I wake up every day.
Well, it's awesome to talk to you. I know it's been a while. What have you been up to since you stopped playing football?
A few things I've been up to. I work with the Legends coordinator, the Legends community. I'm a Legends coordinator. That's part of the NFL. It's just another entity that helps players when they retire. We try to help them transition out of the NFL. And then also I'm on a podcast with Taylor Lewan and Will Compton called Slips and Picks, where we, you know, we're just being guys in the locker room, but also talking about football as well. So I'm just, you know, trying to get my hands in a lot of things. You know, when you're done playing football, you got a lot of time on your hands.
I know you're also working with the NFL Alumni Association here in Tennessee with Gear Up Tennessee. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I serve as an ambassador for the NFL Alum Tennessee Gear Up Tennessee campaign. Pretty much, you know, we try to go out there and inform people in the Tennessee community about staying healthy, being up on date on their shots or whatever that is, flu or whatever. And then it's also a gang of guys that's a part of it that people may know in Tennessee. There's some legends that's a part of it, like Chris Johnson, Javon Kurz, Brad Hopkins, Blaine Bishops, and then, you know, Warren Moon is also a part of that. Just trying to help our community stay healthy and spread that message.
Well, and Delanie Walker is with us. The Titans alum lost one this week, and a guy that played the same position as you, Frank Wycheck, passing away at the age of 52. And, you know, you talk tight end position in the Tennessee Titans. His name comes up and your name comes up. I don't know how well you knew Frank, but just sad news that he passed away this week.
Yeah, man, you know, that's something you don't want to wake up to. I knew Frank pretty well. I wouldn't say like some of the guys he played with, but every time we came across each other, you know, he would talk to me about how well I was doing, and he loved to see that I was, you know, leading the team and trying to change that culture. And just by me, you know, watching Frank and seeing what he did over the years and what he's accomplished here in Nashville and for the state of Tennessee and for the community, man, you know, he will be missed. He was a big part of the Titans coming here and being with who they were when they first got here, having the opportunity to go play in a Super Bowl.
Talking to Delanie Walker this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Delanie, when you left San Francisco after the 2012 season, you've been to the Super Bowl. What was it about Tennessee that you wanted to come here? Was it the opportunity to be a starter and show the league what you could do? Because you spent 7 years with the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest thing, is just me having that opportunity in San Francisco. But my opportunity wasn't going to be the main role guy. You know, we had Vernon Davis at the time, and he was playing excellent. He was Pro Bowl caliber, doing what he was doing. And, you know, I knew at that time that it would be difficult for me to be the guy in San Francisco knowing that we had Vernon Davis. So I had to, you know, go and look for a team that was willing to give me that opportunity. Tennessee told me that, you know, you have an opportunity to be the guy here. You just got to take advantage of it, take advantage of your opportunities. And, you know, I looked at that as that's a great place for me. They given me that opportunity, and I knew I wouldn't let it go.
And, you know, with you, you came through, you played for what? Four different coaches. You had Munchak, Wisenhunt, Malarkey, and Vrabel. But you know what? You just kept the grind, right? I mean, everything happening off the field, you couldn't control. You can only control what you could do on the field with your teammates, right?
Yeah, I mean, you said it, you know, had a lot of coaches, a lot of offensive coordinators. So every year the offense changed, and, you know, I just really brought into whatever the coach we had and whatever the message was. I just brought into it, and I believed it. And I went out there and I said, look, I can't control what's going on upstairs, but I can definitely control what's going on in his locker room and what's happening on Sundays. And I try to do my best to, you know, to win games and care and have everybody have that same mindset as me. And, you know, we kind of changed the organization a little bit.
Do you have a list of how many passes you caught pass from a quarterback? There's got to be 15, right? At least.
It's a lot. I mean, I did it. I went on some show, and I don't even know how I was able to name all the quarterbacks, but I did. So yeah, it's close to 15, maybe 12, I think, or 13.
Heck, that's with the Titans here, all that went on that. Hey, I want to ask you about the 2019 run, how magical that was when nobody gave you guys a chance and led up to the AFC Championship. What was the common denominator, Delanie, on that football team that made you guys all buy in?
You know, we believed in each other, you know, and I've always said that it was us versus everybody. And that was our mindset. Every year, the analysts or the ESPN specialists, they always doubt us. We know that. You know, in that year coming in, they were doubting us. I think we already had lost. We lost two or three games early in the season, and everyone thought we were out. And then we made them strong comebacks in the end. And in the locker room, all we were saying was, it's us versus everybody. Let's show them. Let's go out there and show them what we do, you know, with Mike Vrabel. He's all about being physical and tough, and that's all that mindset was. We got to be physical. We got to be tough, and it's us versus everybody. And we showed them.
Former Titans tight end Delanie Walker is here with us on the Chasing Big Joe show. And you look at this team now, Will Levis, the rookie, taking over at quarterback. You got a lot of young pieces on this team as they look to build for the future. But one constant is Derrick Henry, a guy that I know you know very well. How important is it to have a veteran that takes so much of the defense's attention like Derrick Henry on a young team?
I mean, that's big, especially, you know, for a young quarterback to have that running back there that, you know, most of the time the defense is focused on him helps. It takes a lot of pressure off the quarterback, giving him that opportunity to be able to read defenses and see what's down the field and make the plays that he's making. And honestly, it's him. You know, he got that fight in him. He got that dog. We've been seeing it lately, him just running the ball, pounding, punishing DBs, jumping in the air, getting the first down, making tackles, stripping the ball. I mean, a dude has heart, and with heart, that can take you anywhere. And I think that, you know, he may be the future for the Titans, and all we got to do is protect him.
Yeah, I've been a big proponent of Derek re-signing, staying here, because I still think he's got a lot left in the tank. How much do you think that Derrick Henry has left in the tank?
I think Derek got a lot left in the tank. I know with running backs, you know, we start talking about the tank, how much do they got left? They do take a lot of punishment. They carry the ball a lot. And, you know, Derek did have his injury, but I think that gave him some time to rest and take some pounding off his legs, so where he can have some few more years of running that ball the way he likes to run it. Again, you know, it ain't just Derek back there. It's 10 other guys on the field that got to make sure they do their job for Derek to be successful. So, you know, I think he's still got a lot in the tank. At the end of the day, business is business, so I can't even tell you what they're thinking up there.
Delanie, would you ever consider being a coach?
I get asked what I like to coach, and, you know, I think – one day I will. I just got out of football, and I think just going back into coaching, it's long days, very long days, and you know, it's stressful, you know, because if your team don't perform well, you pretty much on the chop block, not the players, the coaches. So, you know, one day I think I'll be ready to saddle up and start coaching, but I like my free time right now, so. Maybe in a few years.
I don't blame you. Now, you played for Mike Singletary in San Francisco, correct?
Indeed.
Yeah, and I remember he had a quote one time about how difficult it was to be a head coach because he always wanted every single guy to prepare and play and perform like he did. And I see you the same way, Delanie. If like a guy's not preparing the way you prepared, that's frustrating, isn't it?
It is, and it's tough. You know, you got to think about it as a coach. I'm going to speak on a tight end lock and a tight end room. You got five to six guys. They all got different personalities. They all learn differently. So you have to find ways to teach these guys where they all can learn it the same way you can, and then go out there and perform it. You know, and that's tough. You know, and going being in the locker room, being a leader in the locker room, and having to help guys and see some of the stuff that they would miss. I always told people, I wonder how I can fix that to make this more clear for guys. Because the way I do it is, to me, seems simple, but then to other people, it seems hard. So, you know, it's tough when they don't do it the right way and you out there as a coach. And I don't ever want to cuss a player out. I know they're trying, but at the end of the day, it can frustrate you and it makes you, you know, get after the player.
Delanie Walker is with us. So why do you think that Mike Vrabel's been successful? Because, I mean, he fits that mold too, played at a high level, won Super Bowls. But, you know, every guy I've talked to that's played for him, including you, has said that, you know, he speaks the language and he gets the best out of his players.
You said it right there. He speaks the language. He understands. He knows. He knows how we feel after certain games. He can tell just the way you, when you walk in, the way you talk to him. He knows because he's been in the locker room. He understands. He did it at a high level. But honestly, the way he the reason why he gets stuff out of us is because he's honest. Vrabel is not the type of coach that tell you something one in your face and lie to you and then go upstairs and be like, let's get rid of this man. He tells you straight up, like, this is what's happening. This is why you're not playing. If you want to play, get better, do this. We need you to be up there. We want you on the field. And he always been that way. He always been honest to us. But then it's the supporting cast. He brings coaches in that also buys into that philosophy. And I think that's what – because when you got one guy saying a message and everyone who's working around you repeating that same message, it makes it easier for us to understand.
As you know, the tight end position is very, very important and has been in the Titans' history. They've been trying to find, you know, the right guy since you. Now, they have Chigakonkwo, who I think has shown some flashes, but I still think there could be another level for him. When you watch him, what do you see?
I mean, I see it's there. You can see the explosiveness. He breaks tackles when he's fast. I think he just got to, you know, understand that he is that guy. His confidence level has to be consistent. He has to go out there and make plays every week. He can't be up and down. And, you know, that hurts sometimes. Sometimes that gets to you like, damn, I balled out this week, and then this week I didn't do so well. Sometimes that sits on you. You know, he just got to go in every week knowing that he is that guy. He can make these plays. We saw him do it as a rookie. We just need him to be consistent. Because, you know, but they got Josh Well now behind him pushing him. So that should help. You always want to have somebody behind you that you think may can take your spot. Because that's how I always felt like, oh, we got a John New. We had Craig Stevens. Like, any moment, them dudes can take my spot if I don't play at a high level. So sometimes, you know, it ain't a competition because they are on the same team, but sometimes you got to look at it as a competition.
Oh, exactly. Delaney, let me ask you this. I love asking ex-players this question. What was the hardest hit you ever took in a football game after you caught a pass?
And that I remember?
Yeah, that you remember. Yes.
Man.
Or maybe you're welcome to the NFL moment.
It was probably the Baltimore game. I got knocked out that game.
Oof.
Yeah, it was a Baltimore game. I want to say 2016, maybe 2015. Got knocked out. Mettberger was the quarterback. He threw me a slant over the middle.
Well, there's the problem.
He threw me a slant over. It was a slant over the middle of cover three, the safety. Blew me up.
Oh, my goodness. Well, at least you recovered from that one. Hey, somebody wants to say, Delaney Walker, somebody texted in, you're one of my favorite Titans of all time. I met you at many meet and greets. Thank you so much. And somebody else says, thank you for your community and your dedication to the community for giving away backpacks to the youngsters at schools. That meant a lot to my kids. So thank you, Delaney, for what you did off the field, man. That's great.
Oh, no. Thank them for even texting that. I mean, you know, we have a platform, and I'm happy to see guys are really starting to open up, start their foundations to give back to the community. They got to understand, you know, without the community, we wouldn't be where we at. So to give back to them, I mean, that's pennies, you know, that they should be able to do that. And I saw Jeffrey Simmons is the man of the year, and we got the same publicist, so I know he out there doing his thing, so I had to shout out Jeff.
Yeah, you can shout him out for a lot of things. Big Jeff is a key part of that Titans team. Delaney, it's so good to talk to you and catch up with you. Gear Up Tennessee, NFLgearup.org/Tennessee is where you can learn more about that. And where can we hear your podcast?
It's Slips and Picks on Bussin' with the Boys pod. So all you got to do is go on Bussin' with the Boys and you'll see Slips and Picks. And again, like I said, that's Will Compton, Taylor Lewan, and myself.
Awesome. We will check that out. Delaney, thanks so much for doing this, and we'll talk again soon.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Delaney Walker joining us, former Titans tight end. Always, you know, going in the locker room and covering these guys, he was always one of those that 82 was always available.
Well, I mean, you kind of gravitate toward guys who are going to give you beyond the, we got to watch film and get better. And Delaney was always, he was in the mold of the Bullock and the VandenBosch of being very honest with the team and with everybody else. And you love that as being in the media. You wanted those unfiltered kind of remarks of how things really are going. He was simply fantastic with that.
Yeah, and he's someone, too, that, you know, these guys, even on the team now, like if I'm Mike Vrabel, and I'm sure he's done this, but if I'm Mike Vrabel, I'm bringing in somebody like Delanie Walker to talk to my team, to talk to these young guys, to sit with Chig Okonkwo, and then talk about, you know, the ups and downs of that position because he's been there. He's lived it. He's seen the highs and he's seen the lows. So really appreciate Delanie for joining us here on the program. We'll have much more coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for the NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 15 matchup against the Texans and give you the latest updates before the game. Pregame is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and the Beasts Unleashed. Appreciate Delanie Walker for joining us in the last segment. Always a great guy. If you missed it, just go to thegamenashville.com, or you could subscribe to the Chasing Big Joe podcast and get it.
Which right everybody's to your doing. Phone. I mean, notifications all day long. Thank you, Dr. Crane. All right, so we talked about Delanie Walker, about the different quarterbacks he's took and he's caught a pass from in his career. And it's an interesting list. Of course, with the 49ers, he had two I know, Alex Smith and Kaepernick were the two. There are probably more quarterbacks there as well. But this list of quarterbacks, and you walk down memory lane with the Titans, is fascinating. All right, 2013, can you name a quarterback he took a pass from?
So that was his first year?
Correct.
Jake Locker.
That's one. One more quarterback that year.
Matt Hasselbeck?
Incorrect.
Metcho. Mettenberger.
No, not in 13.
It's Fabio, isn't it? The long-haired guy, whatever his name
is. Oh, Clipboard Jesus, Charlie Whitehurst.
Incorrect.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, who did you say? Who were you saying?
Charlie Whitehurst. Okay, yeah, no. That's who it was.
2013, he caught passes from two quarterbacks, Jake Locker and this guy. Here's your hint. This guy played on like 18 different teams, and he's smart.
Oh, Fitzmagic.
That's right.
Okay.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's right.
So 2014, he caught passes from three quarterbacks. Can you name them? You just named them all in that setting.
Whitehurst, Metcho, and I'm missing one.
Jake Locker.
Oh, Locker.
Yeah. Okay. All right. 2015, he caught passes from a new quarterback. Mettenberger's one of them. Who's the other one? 2015. Come on, man.
Well, it wouldn't be Marcus, would it?
It would be Marcus Mariota. All right, 2016, he caught a pass from Marcus Mariota, but he caught a pass from another quarterback who made one start that year. These are all quarterbacks that started one game for the Titans in 2016.
Who is Marcus's first backup?
It'd be his second backup.
Or second backup. But 2016.
This guy, here's your clue. This guy was
Matt Castle.
Attaboy. Good job. Matt Castle, 2017. 2018, Marcus Mariota started 13 games. This guy started three.
Oh, big game Blaine.
That's right. Good job, buddy. And then he was injured in 2019, so he probably did not catch a pass from Ryan Tannehill with that as
well. Nope, he would have caught a pass from Marcus.
Marcus. In that.
Well, he played seven games in 2019, I think.
Did he? Well, maybe he would
have. Maybe he did.
Because Tannehill came in when they were 2-4. Maybe he didn't catch
it was
one.
The Denver game.
Yeah. But going back, this list is fascinating of quarterbacks. Like Chris Sims started one game in 2008.
Well, okay. If you want to do this game, so as the Titans, McNair, O'Donnell.
Yep.
Who is it? Dave Craig?
What are you looking for?
I'm asking if this guy existed and started a game for the Titans. Dave Craig?
Did not. According to this list, Dave Craig, with the Tennessee Oilers, did not start a game.
Okay. But he was a backup.
He was a backup.
So McNair, O'Donnell, Billy Volek.
Yep.
Matt Mock.
Correct.
Is a random one. Kerry Collins. Thank you. Vince Young.
You're doing well.
Matt Hasselbeck.
Yep. You skipped over one starting quarterback, though, for the Titans.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think.
He's the only one that threw the ball to Randy Moss.
Oh, Rusty.
Rusty Smith.
Rusty! Right. Get Rusty! Is that all from the Fisher era?
That would be – you leaving – yeah, you got them all.
Okay.
You got. Well, Sims we brought up, but you got Mock and
but
all
this
those
is,
guys.
These are starts.
Hey, wasn't that the horse in Seinfeld, Rusty?
Yeah.
When Kramer's behind the horse. It ate the beans or whatever it was. Yeah, Rusty, and he couldn't. Oh, Kramer going around New York City. So that's. I mean, we hit them all. I mean, that's. I thought there'd be more quarterbacks than that because, but still, that's quite a few in that time. And Delanie Walker caught a pass from all those guys.
Okay.
And then even Archie Manning started for the franchise back in five games back in 1982 and three in 1983.
Dan Pastorini.
Yeah. And then
Plunkett.
Archie had a son named Peyton. He was like, I'll grow up and be just like my daddy. I'll play some football in the NFL one day. And you'll see what happens, and I'll be all over the TV every time, whether you want me to or not.
Yeah, well, about that Red 18.
I'm everywhere. A certain TV on, you see me right there. You know what I'm saying about that?
Are you Peyton or Elvis?
Peyton is Elvis. Elvis is Peyton. I'm telling
just
you right
just call
now.
Him Pelvis.
So, oh, God.
Oh, Lord.
It's a mixture of both.
What the?
That's funny because
Elvis the Pelvis.
Because they would not show Elvis below the waist on the Ed Sullivan Show, I think it was, because yeah. he mm-hmm. was –
it was too provocative.
He get arrested for indecent exposure because of – he did in Vegas because there's a shirt. I almost bought it in Vegas that it's Elvis's mugshot that he got
– way before he was famous, though.
Yeah, well, he was starting to get famous, but, like, he was arrested for indecent exposure for shaking his hips.
You ever been arrested?
No.
You're smiling. You ever been arrested? Nothing? Along the way, yeah. I bet you have. Chaser. Uh-huh. Taking pack of gum from Dollar Tree. No, I'm kidding.
I'm a good boy.
I'm kidding. My goodness, with all that. But no, there's the quarterbacks. And you imagine, I mean, look, you know, talking about Mettenberger threw him a pass and he got blasted by the Ravens. I mean, would you not go back to the huddle? I mean, I've been in those huddles when the receiver goes back screaming at the quarterback. And quarterback, all you can say is, my bad. I'm sorry about that.
Thomas in Nashville saying, don't leave out Mettenberger. We didn't. We said the Mettenberger.
Yeah, we said Mettenberger.
So I named every starting quarterback for the Titans.
You have. The only one that we – Chris Sims was the one, but I said that before you had a chance to guess that.
He started one game?
One game. 2008 season. According to this list.
I don't remember
Wikipedia is never wrong. Matt Mock started that last game in 2005 down in Jacksonville, which was a disaster.
Yeah. That was bad. Floyd talked about that one time. Huh. Well, there you go.
Yep.
This week in Titans history.
All going on. You know, Matt Castle was involved in that trade with Vrabel from the Patriots to the Chiefs in 2009.
Yep.
2008, after the 2008 season.
Yep. He sure was. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, America's favorite game, celebrity birthdays. We'll put a bow on things. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063 the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Hope you're having a fantastic Thursday so far. Dr. Crane on the ones and twos. Caroline Willie and D-Mace, they are coming up next. Looking forward to that and what they have to say. And really cool that we had Delanie Walker.
It was. You know, and we're walking down memory lane with all that stuff. It's just so vital. You know, we talked a lot about Frank and his development with Steve McNair and helping become that safety valve for Steve and the confidence. And Delanie was much the same way with all the quarterbacks we ran down. I mean, he was always open. He was always there. Always. I think the thing was, like, with Frank and Delanie, always dependable. And they would do whatever it takes to get a yard for the team, help the team win. And so – guys like Delanie and, of course, with Frank are few and far between, man.
Yeah.
It's something that's missing in a lot of locker rooms today or guys like that.
Will Levis needs to find that. I mean, obviously, he's got DeAndre Hopkins right now, but, you know, that's not going to be an option for the long term because Hopkins is only under contract for 2 years and, you know, an older player. But Tajay Spears could be developing into that, you know, as a
– yeah.
A good safety valve. Chigakonkwo still can develop into that. I don't know. I mean, I know that
whatever he did this past offseason, do the opposite. Because
yeah, I mean,
it's put you back.
There's something there, but he hasn't tapped it yet. And you know, potential is a dangerous word.
It is.
You know,
it is. But you look at Mahomes. Where would he be without Travis Kelce? I know Tyreek Hill was great for him, but
I mean, that's all he's got right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
Pacheco, but he's been hurt.
I mean, throughout the years, great quarterbacks have always had reliable, dependable tight ends. You know, we were walking through Hard Rock Stadium. There's a picture of Dan Marino and Jim Jensen, who was like, well, I don't remember that guy, but, I mean, that was a great tight end and a safety valve for Marino back in the 80s. Crash Jensen that went on, and then all the teams, all the great quarterbacks have had those great reliable tight ends, whether it's for a year, for 5 years, for 10 years. And so once Levis gets that reliable tight end, I mean, look at Josh Allen and Dawson Knox and the relationship they got. I mean, it's on and on, and that's how you get things going. So once they get him a good tight end there who can catch a pass and not drop it, it'll be much better for
him. See, it's easy. So all they need now is a left tackle, a center, and probably a right tackle too. So there's three. You need a wide receiver, need a tight end, and that's just the offensive side of the ball.
Go get a cornerback, yes.
Go get a shutdown corner because those grow on trees. So go get one. You know, maybe while you're at it, pick up another one. They need a middle linebacker.
Keep going. Yeah. Just a whole new team, right?
What am I missing?
A partridge in a pear tree.
A kicker. I mean, they're going to need a kicker long term because, you know, it's not going to be Folk.
How dare you? Nick Folk is fantastic.
Well, he's awesome, but I think he's also like 40. So,
well, I mean, look at you. How old are you?
36.
We're not trying to get rid of you. So,
well, good. Thank you.
Some people age like a fine wine.
Rex Rhodes said, thank you. Rex Rhodes said that this morning and then, you know, complained about us not getting his lunch. So we got to feed Rex Rhodes.
Well, I mean, he can just stop with the attitude right now.
Yeah, but he's Rex Rhodes. He always has one.
He does.
That's okay. All right. With that, Dr. Crane, let's get to celebrity birthdays.
All right, here we go.
I got to do the thing.
God, I'm so sorry.
Follow Zach Piller and his new Instagram account, Zach Piller Design 69, and step into his world.
All right, here we go. Celebrity birthdays. Chase, you did well yesterday.
Thank you.
You did really well. First up is actor Ted Raimi. He appeared in the Xena and the Hercules TV shows. Ted Raimi.
62.
Those are back in the 80s, correct?
Maybe.
Those TV shows. Okay. Well, we're going to go 59.
58. Yeah, Dr. Okay. Crane, man. You just did the deductive reasoning. Yep.
Yeah, it's good.
Actress Natasha McElhinney. She's been a bunch of stuff. Natasha McElhinney.
Thank you. 43. I have no idea.
What a name, Natasha.
Yep.
Has a little ring to it. And go
thanks.
52.
54. Okay. Dr. Crane getting up there. Up 2-0. He studied because he got beat so bad yesterday.
I did not. I was
too
busy.
That was in between cleaning ovens.
Oh,
too busy with those ovens.
Actress Vanessa Hudgens.
Okay, Vanessa Hudgens.
44.
I'm going to go a little younger. She's got to be in her 30s. I'm going to say 38.
35. You missed it by one, Dr. Crane. Let's see who else here. We're going on down. There's a lot of people. All right. The mom in E.T., Dee Wallace. She was also in Cujo. Dee Wallace.
74.
Cujo, is that animated film? That's a good film, actually. I watched that in film studies in high school.
No, Cujo is about a rabid dog written by Stephen King.
Well, there's another movie, I think, named Cujo.
Are you thinking of Clifford the Big Red Dog?
No, not Clifford.
Good Lord.
It's an animated, origami film. Yeah,
Animated what film?
Like origami film.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you said something else. No.
I'm going to take a – I'm going to go 48.
Good Lord. I don't even know who our ass we're talking about
what
now.
What are we doing?
Oh, Dee Wallace. She's 75. Chase with that 74.
Oh.
Good Lord, man. Let me see where I'm at now. I think my whole –
Caroline, help.
All right, actress Cynthia Gibb. She was in Fame, TV's Fame, and maybe some other stuff.
I have no idea who that is either, so I'm going to say 57.
64.
60. You guys are so close. Proud of y'all. Let's see who else. What a terrible day for birthdays. All right, actor Jackson Rathbone, he was one of the vampires in Twilight. He might have been one of the dads. I don't know. I watch all those things with my eyes shut because my daughter wanted to see him.
42.
51.
39. Boy, this is really – we need more celebrities born on December the 14th. There's always – okay, the bass player, Cliff Williams of AC/DC. I think he's an original bass player.
Yeah.
Of the band.
78.
84.
74. And that's it. There's nobody. I can't make.
Honorable mention, Frank Sinatra's birthday was 2 days ago.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Green. Oh, Blue Eyes.
Oh, Blue Eyes. I got a Frank Sinatra story I'll tell you off air. That doesn't concern me, but I'll tell you off the air.
Are you going to go fix some ovens today, or you got something else on the agenda?
Something else on the docket, yes.
Okay. Cool. Well, you can update us on that tomorrow.
Bonanza's on at 2 o'clock today. No, 1 o'clock.
3:30. Come on,
3:30. I thought it was at 1. Rifleman's on at 2.
What about Gunsmoke?
No one comes on at 6 o'clock. Sometimes
Gunsmoke's at noon, and then Bonanza at 1. I saw one yesterday where Little Joe got lost in the desert, and they had to go find him. And I'm like, just call somebody, and they didn't do that. So
call Rusty.
Right. So we'll get you more of your after-show doings tomorrow, Dr. Green.
That might have to become a thing.
Yes.
For sure. Great participation today. Thanks for laughing along with us, because in the words of Jimmy Buffett, if we couldn't laugh, we'd all go insane.
That's
Caroline,
true.
Willie, and D-Mace coming up next.
As we leave you every day, my friends, so the guys out there, know that we love you. If you're struggling, listen, it's simple. Get on your cell phone, call 988. Reach out to a good friend. It's okay. Swallow that pride. We all have to at one time. But the bottom line is, we let you guys know that we love you and our world is a stronger place because you are here. Please know that.
Amen to that. We're back at it at 9 tomorrow. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.